and only the redeemed shall hear his voice. Wonderful. Tonight's message is called Fine-Tuning Your Life. Fine-Tuning Your Life. I once had a piano, very expensive piano, at least to me it was very expensive. Couldn't play it, but you still had to fine-tune it. You still had to tune it up every once in a while. Otherwise, it just falls apart. Now that piano is not as important as your life. Most of us have cars, or at least one car. And if you don't tune up your car and service it, it falls apart. And your body and your life is way more important than the piano or the car. So tonight I want to talk about fine-tuning your lives. Why? Because I want to see you all be alive and remain when Jesus returns. The time to get prepared, the time to practice fighting, really is now. Actually, it was the last 5 years. Last 5 years. But better late than never. Better this 5 years than when the challenges comes. Into everybody's life, challenges will come. That is not the time to be learning. That is not the time to be practicing. Now, thank God for all of us when challenges have come and we have not been prepared. God has had people who could stand in the gap for us, lift us up with their prayers. If that were not true, I wouldn't have got saved, and I wouldn't have made it to where I am today. One point in my life, my wife fasted for me three and one half years is a big number here at ABC. It's always been a big number for me. One day I'm going to teach in 3.5. But amazingly, long before I got to ABC, 3.5 is a big number for me from the scriptures. And then at ABC, everything happens in 3.5 years. Truly amazing. Not by plan, but not by our plan. 3.5 years, my wife fasted for me. See how cute I am? Anybody here ever had somebody fast for you for 3.5 years? No? Maybe because you're not as cute as them. Or maybe you weren't as big a sinner as I was and didn't need that much fasting, right? Some of you like that one. Some of you are grinning at me, huh? Well, no, we all have times when people have raised us up and got us back on the right track through prayer. Prayer is much more effective than nagging or coercion or any of the things that we like to do, right? So, has anybody used the word of knowledge and know where I'm going? No, it's not Mark 11, 24. How about Matthew 24? That's close. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, okay? Well, let's pick it up here in verse 14, Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. So we're talking here now from the point where the gospel has been preached to the nations. Now that didn't occur when Jesus was on earth, right? Nor did it occur in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed. It's occurring now. We have people involved with our ministry. We have one gentleman sitting right here, at least a family, that's heavily involved in getting the gospel to nations of the world that never had it before. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever reads, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So this is referring to the Antichrist standing in the temple and declaring that he's God. Can't happen until we have a temple. Okay? Which means we're going to have a temple in Jerusalem pretty soon. When? As soon as Israel goes to war, next war, out of the next war, will come a treaty out of which Jerusalem will get the right to rebuild the temple. We're very close to it. It's going to be a very serious time. They won't get back the right to have the courtyard. They'll have everything but the courtyard. Which is kind of interesting because the courtyard is where you do the sacrifice. And they really don't need a sacrifice because he is a sacrifice once and for all. All they need to learn is the sacrifice has been paid. That's why they don't need a courtyard. Boy, the scripture is so perfectly right on. Just love it. Just love it. Then let... That's from Revelation 11, by the way, if you wonder where it's coming from. It's not from Joshua 6. Not the first Joshua, not the second Joshua. Forgive me my sense of humor. At least I like it. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. See, I never had the sense of humor until I hung out with my wife. But she's got so much joy in her, it just bubbles over and floods me, okay? Let him which is on the roof, on the rooftop, not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Why is that? Because the Jews are not supposed to travel on the Sabbath day. Right? You know, when the Israeli took back, when they got the captives back in Entebbe, the whole operation almost fell apart because one of the people who had to prove it was an Orthodox Jew and he would not move a foot until after 6 p.m. He was in the Knesset. He wouldn't come. Even though all the operation had been laid out and they were going to go rescue these hostages. Neither let you be on the Sabbath day. So they're going to be Jews, already are, who are literally observing the scriptures the way they should be. For then shall be great tribulation. When? After the abomination of desolation. Such as was not seen since the beginning of the world, nor to this time, nor ever shall be. So the worst is yet ahead. When you think of World War II, you realize what's ahead is pretty serious, especially for the Jews and the Christians. Jews and the Christians. And except these days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. And the question is, who or what are the elect? Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophet, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So we got elect and we got very elect. And you might say, what is that? And there's a lot of different kind of teaching as what it could be, what they mean. To me, it's very simple. I go back to John 8:31 and John 8:32, which Jesus says there are two kinds of believers. That's what we got here, two kinds of believers. Jesus said to those Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple. Second kind, there are believers, all believers go to heaven. But if you continue in the word, then are you my disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So who gets set free on earth are the disciples. Two kinds of believers. That's pretty consistent through the scriptures in different words. You know, you hear the word of God. If you believe it, your heart is softened and you can receive in that area. If you don't, your heart is hardened and you can't receive in that area. When The great healing revivals broke out from the wave of healing on the waves of the Spirit as God reveals his revelation to the earth in waves of the Spirit. First, in modern times, was the wave of the Pentecostal revival. Well, if you back up, it kind of mirrors in the beginning the Great Commission. First, there was the Age of Grace, starting with Martin Luther. Then the Age of Water Baptism, with miracles, signs, and wonders, people getting raised from the dead. Then the wave of evangelism and missions. And that lasted until 1900s, when the Pentecostal revival broke up in the world. And then came the wave of healing, starting maybe about 1930. It took from 1930 until recently before the majority of the churches would believe that God is a healer. Hasn't been very long that all Christian churches, I say all, I mean, there's always an exception, almost all Christian churches believe that God will heal you today. That healing didn't stop when the last apostle fell off his horse. But just as technology is speeding up, you know, I can't believe this cell phones. I'm just absolutely amazed how they can pack so much power in something so little. Because, you know, I wrote my first computer program in 1963. No, there were no dinosaurs around. Okay? 1963. And today, they tell me all the stuff is in this little box. And that's just boggles in my mind. Technology has just rapidly advanced. I remember back in, wow. I'm going to guess about the mid-80s, went to a lecture from a computer scientist that was working on computer storage and computer chips up in the Silicon Valley. And it's a big audience, maybe 200 of us, you know, all computer professionals. And he took these chips and he threw out, you know, dozens of them. And he says, what I just gave you, the power in what I just gave you, let's say 5 years ago, would have cost you like $1,000. And he's just talking about it. He says, if cars could increase in efficiency and size as fast as computer chips, it would be cheaper to drive your Cadillac to work, give it away, and buy another one to drive home than to pay parking. And that was, what, 20, almost 30 years ago? And since then, it's really taken off even faster. So technology has really ramped up. It's amazing. To me, it's all science fiction. Except it works. Why am I telling you all this? Because all these technologists, and many of the movers and groovers of it, were friends of mine, associates of mine, that helped set this revolution on its track. Let me tell you, they're not as smart as God. And just as technology is going faster and faster, so is the revelation of God on earth. So is the knowledge of the glory of God up on earth, moving faster and faster. And when they take the body of Christ, the majority of the body of Christ, 60 years, to become comfortable with healing. That's truly sad. Because the church is long gone, way beyond that. So, here we are talking about the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are saying that there are two kinds of believers. All believers go to heaven. I call those the elect. That's my understanding of it. Now, the disciples are the very elect. And the disciples get set free. In the words of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you continue in the word, then are you my disciple, and you will get set free. Christians as a whole do not want to continue in the word, but they want to get set free. And all of God's word is true. The parts you like and the parts you don't like. You know how many times I've seen situations where people come together and they're praying for somebody to be healed? And in the midst of praying for somebody to be healed, there's strife and confusion breaking out. What is the probability of the person getting healed? James 3:16. Where there's envying and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. Probability is almost zero. When you want a major healing for yourself or somebody else, what you want is peace and joy and unity, all of which are the Holy Spirit. You want to stay in the kingdom of God. You want to stay in unity. That's not a time for strife. The fastest way to get yourself in trouble is to walk in strife. So the disciple who knows the word and acts on the word and believe the word, that you should love God and love your neighbor as yourself, that your words should be words of love, that you should be a loving, forgiving person, that you should confess your sins, because it's true, all your sins are paid for. And yes, you can choose to sin all you want and still go to heaven. But you're not going to be a disciple. You won't get set free on earth, and you will not be here when Jesus returns. You can take that to the bank. You will not be here when Jesus returns. You want to be here when Jesus returns? He's coming back for church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a glorious church, a church that's full of glory. He's coming back for church where everybody in the church wants to be, trying to be, or is a disciple, continuing in the word. Because if you don't continue in the word, if you don't try to live the word 24 hours a day, the anointing will leave you. And at some point, you'll get attacked. And the attack will be successful. Jesus is our example. And his example is he never sinned. And he said, but we're people, we've got to sin. As long as you think you're people and you got to sin, you will sin. But if you believe the word of God, you know, look at Father Abraham. You know how much faith this man had? He believed God's word that out of Isaac would come nations. And so when God says, take him up there and sacrifice him, he set off to do it. For 3 days in his heart, he had already sacrificed Isaac. All he was trying to do is find the place. But he believed God, and God said, out of Isaac would come. Therefore, he believed that God would raise him from the ashes. Can God raise him from the ashes? Absolutely. God can do anything on this earth as long as there's a man or woman who will partner with him and believe it. God destroyed the whole earth with a flood. And who condemned the earth so God could do it? Hebrews 11 verse 7. And Noah condemned the earth. God partners with us. God respects your words more than you do. You say something, God will not go against your word. You say, every summer I get the flu. God can't do a thing about it. You said it. And the devil says, oh boy, I can make that come to pass. God respects your word. God has given you free will. God can do anything but break his word. And his word says, I've given you dominion over the earth and over yourself. You have free will. You can do anything you want. If he were to interfere with your words, if you were to interfere with your free will, he'd be breaking his own word, and God cannot break his word. So understand, this is a partnership with God. And so this partnership is what's going to bring us to the time when Jesus is coming back. We are in strange times, in case you haven't noticed it. Sunday, I'm going to teach on signs of the times. You know, a series I do periodically. I think it's time for another one. Okay? But let me tell you, we have, in case you have not noticed it, we have a presidential election coming up. And we have two unusual people running. This has been the most unusual election in history. There's another unusual one in Great Britain. Because this is a funny, funny world, okay? The Prime Minister of Britain wanted to stay in the European Union. And he believed the people were for it. So to quell and quiet those who were saying that we should leave because it's not good for us, he put it to a vote. And because he was so confident he'd win, he had no plans of what to do when he if he lost. None. The guys who ran on the basis that they were going to come out of the European Union were so confident they were going to lose, they had no plans of what to do if they won. And so they won. And the Prime Minister had no idea what to do, so he resigned. The two leaders of the party that said, let's leave, they resigned also. They quit. Because they didn't know what to do. They did not think the people would vote to leave. And it sent shockwaves around the world. Still is. Still is sending shockwaves around the world. So they have an election coming up. And for the first time in the history of Great Britain, two women are running against each other. So whichever one wins, there'll be a woman running Great Britain again. The last one was tremendous. About to have it again. It's a strange election. Unusual in history. Here we have a very unusual one. In many respects, we have two candidates going. Presidential, what's the word they use? Presumptive presidential nominee, whatever. We have Trump, then we have Clinton, right? Running. Now, what the polls show is this, that Clinton is leading at this current time by 45% to 36%. One of the unusual things is this, that most of the people have made up their minds, even though it is a long time to go. They've made up their mind who they're going to vote for. Usually, at this time, maybe 30, 40% are willing to change. They want to hear what they're going to say and change. Not now. Less than 10% are willing to change. The rest are cast in concrete. They're cast in concrete for Trump. The Trumpites are cast in concrete, and the Clintonites are cast in concrete. That's very unusual. What's even more unusual is about 40% of each. 40% of the people who are going to vote for Trump, no matter what happens, don't think he'll be a good president. And 40% who are going to vote for Clinton and will not change their mind, don't think she'll make a good president either. No, isn't that an unusual election? It reminds me of elections in the third world countries that I've seen. So, things are degenerating rapidly. Now, 5 years ago, the Lord told us in December of 2010, and repeated in January of 2011, that we're entering 5 years of fear, where fear was going to dominate the world. And as far as I'm concerned, that was obvious. Within the first month, I mean, just in the world thing, we had an assassination attempt, people killed in Arizona. We had the super typhoon. We had a wave of nuclear toxic material coming from the nuclear reactors in Japan towards California, so bad that the pharmacies were sold out of potassium iodide because people were taking it to prevent radiation sickness. And this went on from there. Out of that came the Arab Spring, which, if you recall, I said, this is going to be terrible for the United States because it's going to end up with a lot of terrorist attack around the world and eventually in the United States. And the 5 years of fear ended last year. This is the first year of the era of reality. In the area of fear, God made it clear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And so in January, the first month of 2011, we had our first ABC-er die. But it was false evidence appearing real, so we raised her from the dead. During the first year, we had two more die, And another one almost died. And we raised them all from the dead. That's 4 in 1 year, if you include the one that almost died. False evidence appearing real. None of them, all the ones that died, were brought back. Now here we are in the first year of the era of reality. You all know what's happening in the news. Some of this I cover on Sunday. This week alone, right? 2 black men were shot, apparently murdered, by 2 police officers each. Both recorded. When there was a peaceful rally protesting it, snipers opened up. In the last comment, I've been so busy, I haven't heard anything since last night. 11 police officers were shot in Dallas. 4 of them were dead as of sometime last night. Huh? 5 last night. So late last night was 5. Okay. See? These things are speeding up. It is inevitable. All these things came into place in this country when prayer was taken out of schools. That was the beginning of the end for this country as we know it. That does not mean that this country cannot still do great things. But it does mean our place in history is gone. We've been losing it for, 20, 30 years. Not that important anyway. Because we don't serve. Our primary allegiance is not to a country, it is to God. It is to the kingdom of God. We don't really want a democracy. We want a theocracy. And no matter how good the government is, it's not going to solve the problems of the world. Only Jesus Christ can do that. But here we are in the first year of the era of reality. And I'm sorry to tell you that we lost another ABC. A week ago, early Wednesday morning, Carol Small, my niece, was admitted to the hospital with the doctor's called. It's a stroke. Aneurysm broke. A brain aneurysm. A stroke. Rupture of the aneurysm. And there's a lot of warfare that went on for her. But Wednesday, her family announced that she had been promoted to heaven. Now, ABC did not lead the charge nor the fight. This is not the spiritual warfare. People ask me, Pastor Joshua, how is it possible that your niece, Pastor Karen's sister, how could she possibly die and you guys, you people at ABC, we ABCers, didn't bring her back from the dead or prevent it in the first place? Mm-hmm. They're truly amazed, asking, how is it possible? You know, Matthew 10:8 says that you should go, kingdom of heaven is at hand. You should go, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. It's a normal Christian day. So why didn't we do it? Because we did not have the lead. We did not have the lead, and we have to be obedient to those who have the lead. Because if you're not obedient to those who have the lead, you are disobeying authority, and you're shooting down your prayers anyway. You know, if it's a legal authority, if it's an illegal authority, you know, like the government says, you can't bring in Bibles into this country, that's illegal. Like the U.S. Supreme Court saying, abortion is legal. Contradicts the word of God. If it contradicts the word of God, God's word is higher. Amen? But when the authority is all at the end of God, then you should be obedient. Because what gets you your healing, what gets you your victory, what gets you your protection, what keeps the anointing in you is being obedient to authority. Because lack of obedience to authority is disobedience to God. All authority comes from God. So don't drive on the freeway and break the speed limit. You know, you laugh if somebody says, you know, I smoke. When somebody says, I smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day, could you pray for me to be healed from lung cancer? And you say, well, can you quit smoking? No. Do you want to quit smoking? No. Do you want me to pray for you to quit smoking? No. I just want to be healed from lung cancer. tough job. Am I right? Same thing when you violate authority. So we didn't have the lead. Give you an idea. The first day I was there, I got a prayer with her 1 minute. Second day, I got 2 minutes. The third day, I got two-minute shots. So in 3 days, I got 5 minutes. I don't know what pastor kind of got. My guess is less, because I'm the pastor. I don't know. Hey, when Walt was challenged, Walt was challenged with all the same symptoms that Carol was, except for one. He wasn't vomiting. Am I correct? Walt wasn't vomiting. Walt got his total healing in half an hour and all the strength back in about 2 hours to 3 hours. A few days later, he drove to Northern California. But he started off with the same symptoms. But the difference is, Lorraine, his wife, called her pastor. Their family called 911. No, is that wrong? No. You have to do what's right in your spirit. For the experience that the family has with the word of healing, their experience is God healing them through hospitals and medicines. Therefore, he made the correct call. But just because it's the correct call doesn't mean there's not a better call. So by the time we got there, the hospital was in charge. No, you say, well, you all prayed for her and she's gone. Well, you know what? Jesus said, the works that I did, you shall do and greater. You all believe that? You think Jesus did greater work than Abraham? I did. And Abraham had no problem believing that God could raise Isaac from the ashes, even if he's the one that burned him. Hey, I have no problem believing that God would say to Carol, okay, Carol, you've been up here for 3 days, and we can't find a job for you up here. Go back. I have no problem at all. I would love to get up here Sunday morning and say, I have a guest speaker here, and it's Carol. I have no problem with that. My God can do anything. I don't care about death. It's just a state. That's an ungodly state managed by a demon of death, a spirit of death, an angel of death. It's just an angel. And Jesus is the way. You might say, but there's no way that can happen. Of course there is. Jesus is the way. When there seems to be no way, Jesus is the way. Now, am I praying for her to show up here Sunday morning? No, I'm not. I've put up my prayers and I haven't canceled them. I said the family says she's been promoted to heaven. Mm-hmm. I have never said something to contradict my prayer. No, if I write that she's promoted to heaven, and I tell you she's promoted to heaven, she is promoted to heaven. But how many people have gone to heaven and come back? A whole bunch of them, right? So, let me tell you this. I'm not trying to pull her back from heaven. Hey, I wanted to go to heaven twice. You all know the story. This earth is a sick, dirty, evil cesspool. If you don't believe me, it's because you've been running in night circles. It is a terrible place. There's only one reason why you should walk through a cesspool. You got to have a good reason for going through it. And there's only one good reason for being in the cesspool, is leading people to Jesus Christ. That's it. Many of you today received an email from me asking for prayer to join me in agreement that Evie would have a good surgery today. I want to tell you, the surgery was beyond what the doctor expected. The doctor said, this is just great. Great, right? And I just spoke to her before the service started. Actually, after the service started, I called her. And she's doing great. No pain. Larry, you're with her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is having surgery again tomorrow.
Tomorrow, the other side. Okay, fine. But that's much more minor compared to what she had today. What she had today was not trivial. It was a non-trivial surgery. And she went through it. It was wonderful. And what they found was, I don't think they understand why they found what they found, because it shouldn't be there. I mean, she's 80 years old, and what they found didn't look like 80 years old. So wonderful. Praise God. So thank you for all the prayers. So God is still on the throne. He's still doing miracles. Amen? Amen. So we are here in an era of reality. And you say, that's kind of somber. Well, yeah. In a sense, it is. But you know, all it means is dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. Isn't that where you want to dwell anyway?
Yeah.
If you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, no evil shall befall you. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Just dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. Live your life for Jesus. You don't belong to you anyway, you belong to Jesus. And isn't that true? We're all people who love the Lord. Everybody here loves the Lord. And that's all we have to do, is live our love for him. You know, people say, well, how could something like this happen to Carol? We're not with people 24 hours a day. We don't know what they do. We also don't know what's in their heart. So in general, it's a hard question to answer. And you got to be careful asking the question and then answering it, because you can walk into judgmentalism. On the other hand, I appreciate the fact that, you know, you look at somebody that, Carol is in the School of Dominion. And if I were to pick the 10 top testimonies from the School of Dominion, probably 7 would be hers. So this is not a person who is not sold out to God. So how could something like that happen to her? Well, let me tell you this. I love her, we love her, and she's wonderful. She is really, truly wonderful. But she's not perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. Only God is perfect. Now, if we look at it and we say, God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. And God doesn't break his word. His word says with long life will he satisfy her. And his word says she has been redeemed from the law of sin and death. And Jesus took all the sins and all the infirmities. So someplace in there, if you look at those scriptures only, you say, well, there's a contradiction here. Look like God broke his word. But see, those aren't the only scriptures. There's a lot of scriptures that we have to look at all of them. Now, I don't know which one to tell you to look at. But we'll say, when somebody at ABC dies, it's a rarity. Well, except for that 1 year in 2011. But like I said, they all came back. Okay? There are people who have been associated with ABC who are not really ABCers. You know, just because you're in a garage for 6 months doesn't make you a car. And just because you come for a while, like what is an ABC? What would make an ABC? I suppose everybody can decide for themselves. To me, an ABC is a person who does what ABC teaches. So for example, I don't think you're an ABC if you're not a tither to ABC. I'm giving you my opinion. It's not God speaking. This is just my opinion. I think that if you're really committed to ABC, you should be tithing to ABC. So that's one. Which she was, by the way. She was tithing to ABC. Two is, I think you should need, we teach you need to go to church. You need to be in church, in services, at least 2 days a week. If you want to go without doctors and hospitals and medicine, it should be 3 days a week to maintain the anointing. That's our teaching. Are we right? Are we wrong? That's the teaching we have. That's how we read the scriptures. And the people who do it, they've been able to fight off every challenge. My staff does that. And they've all come to the point where they've all canceled their insurance. And they fight off every challenge. Do challenges come? Of course. The devil doesn't like me, he doesn't like ABC, and doesn't like my staff. So they get big challenges, but they fight them off. Now, Carol's attendance, Carol was very busy. She had a family, she had a business, and she had church. But I mentioned to somebody, my wife mentioned to somebody recently, that Carol had been promoted to heaven. And the person had been coming to ABC well over 10 years. And she had no idea who Carol was. That tells you something. How can she be coming for tenure and Carol be an ABC and she doesn't know her? Think what it says is that Carol rarely ever comes on Friday. She comes on Sunday and she goes to the schools and she tithes. Does that make her an ABC? Up to you to decide if she's an ABC or not. Did I ever see her doing anything wrong that I corrected her for? Only one thing. Which I corrected her on it 3 times, which she wanted to change, but she never did. Because her life was such she couldn't change. She was moving towards changing it. She wanted to change it, but she hadn't got her life together. I know her family says the big cause is that she was working too hard. Many times she worked all night. Okay? You don't want to do that. We're supposed to take care of our bodies, right? The answer is I don't know what happened that gave the devil the opening. I do know why after the opening was used by the devil, why we had difficulty. You know, when I heard she had been challenged with a stroke, a brain aneurysm, it didn't bother me at all. I had no doubt we were going to get her back to health because we've done it repeatedly. No doubt. I never had any doubt until I got there and I saw that she was so popular and loved that there was a smaller army of people there all the time. And that I had more time with Walter on the phone. I had half an hour with Walter on the phone the first time it happened. And never got half an hour with her until after the doctors had announced that essentially, they said she was brain dead. That's when we got her. And again, that wasn't our problem. But again, things weren't perfect. You know? So, the bottom line is this. I don't want you walking in fear. I want you walking in what the scripture says. You can't judge your life by what other people do or what happens to them. You got to judge your life by how you're applying yourself at the point where you are. Wherever you are, what is necessary is you keep taking a small step towards God. A small step might be, hey, I never used to go to church. Now I'm going to start going to church once a month. Hey, when I got started, my commitment to God. When I got saved and got started, I totally said, God, I give up my life for God. I was so grateful you saved me. But the only commitment I made was, I'm going to read, Lord, I'm committing to read one line of the Bible per day. One line, not a chapter, not a verse, because I knew some verses take more than one line. One line. This is absolutely true. Because I did not want to break my word to God. So I've got to read one line per day. And one line per day has brought me now to where, you know, to where I am, wherever that is. So wherever you are, just take a step towards God. James 4:8 says, if you take a step towards God, God will take a step towards you. All the blessings of God are available to you right where you are if you take that one step. Look at Christina. This is our new Christina, not the other Christina. Christina came up. She was challenged with pain in her back. And she had had pain in her back for, I guess, 30 years. She came up. And in what, 2 or 3 minutes? 5 minutes? I don't know exactly. The pain went down to zero. You know, I didn't lay hands on her. The only prayer I said was I read aloud James 5, 14 and 15. And it went down step by step. One step towards God. And she can keep that pain away. If she follows the assignment I gave her, the pain won't come back. It's a simple assignment. We'll take her 5 or 10 minutes a day for a week. And a couple of minutes thereafter. One step towards God and all the blessings belong to you. But you got to keep taking that step. And don't let fear come in. Watch for that fear. When the devil says to you, if Carol died, who do you think you are? Well, who you think you are, you're the one where greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're the one in whom lives the Holy Spirit. You're the one who can do anything with Christ Jesus. You're the one who can confess your sins all the time. You are an overcomer in Christ Jesus. You're the one that God says, you're the apple of my eye, and I am your strength, your personal bravery, and your invincible army. And nothing is impossible for you because God is on your side. That's who you are. So yeah, we're going into the area of reality. And you're going to see terrible things happening in the world. They're starting already. You're going to see terrible things happening in this country. You know, during the era of fear, I prophesied that four cities. Well, it's either four or five, depending on who you're listening to. Okay? By name. Well, it was New York, Dallas, Seattle, and San Francisco, LA, whatever. Anyway, I prophesied that these four or five cities would be attacked by terrorists. You know, everyone made the news that they were attacked by terrorists. But in every case, something happened. They were arrested before they could set things off. One of them was set off and it fizzled, the bomb fizzled. I mean, in every case, it was stymied. But everyone made the headline by name. Because that was the era of false evidence appearing real. We're now moving into the reality where you're going to see these things. And I think this year has so far started with a bang. Okay? There's fear sweeping the world because of the potential dissolution of the European Union. There's fear sweeping the world because Russia and Ukraine. Just in the last week or so, there have been significant terrorist attacks in multiple countries. But you know what? 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Because you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, and the Lord is your shepherd, and you stay under the anointing, and you do the things you learn at ABC. Confess your sins and do the things you learn, and no harm shall befall you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.